Welcome back to another episode of the Blackout Podcast with me, Lloyd.
Me, Jake.
And today is episode number
41, baby.
41. Holy Moses. And then in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have a Blackpool preamble episode where we basically just throw the rules out the window about not mentioning anything to do with the magic world or community, and we just go all in on discussing Blackpool. Probably like more themed around creating tricks to fool magicians, probably, you know, at conventions.
Oh yeah. But, and so maybe some anonymous stories.
Yeah. Oh my god, I could write a book. But man, you good?
I'm good, dude. You know what? I feel in a bit of a strange place. I feel like we...
Yeah, you're in Liverpool, mate.
Well, yeah, there is that. The homeland. Scoustopia. A separate nation entirely. The 51st state. I don't know. I feel in a bit of a weird place. We haven't really discussed too much what we're going to speak about. So, I mean, usually when we jump in blind, there's still at least a little inkling of an idea what's going on. But I texted you literally about 45 minutes ago or something saying, I've got a really busy day. Is there any way we can record this? Like, can I drag you out of your shed?
Out of the lab. Yeah. In terms of a weird place, what do you mean by that?
Oh, I don't know. I think because my mind is very much elsewhere. I've just dropped down into the podcast now. And there's nothing in my head whatsoever. So
I'm with you.
It feels strange. It feels nebulous and floaty and airy and ethereal.
I also feel in a similar place because I have not... I've literally gotten out of bed and not had a coffee and opened up my Mac. And we just hit record straight away. Sometimes that can be good for creativity. For anyone that's a new listener, by the way, on this podcast... We tend not to talk about how our week's been and how we're doing and spend the first half an hour just like wasting everyone's times. We sort of just talk about creating tricks, and we try to, but we normally end up jamming on a trick or an idea in every episode. And by the end of every episode, we have a new trick or all the foundations of a new trick. So yeah, they're pretty unguided. But if you are a new listener, I know we're building more and more listeners each week. This is kind of what we do. So there's no guarantees we're going to create a new trick, but just to give you the sort of the rough direction of each episode. But I don't have anything. I don't have anything specifically to talk about today, Jake. But I did wake up. Let me tell you what time I woke up and did this. So because I did something in the middle of the night, I wrote something down in the middle of the night, and this may be the most pretentious thing I've ever.
Oh, yes.
Well, I don't know. I think you'll agree with it. And maybe I might be preaching to the converted as well with what this thought is. But for the past, I'm going to sound like an absolute murderer or serial killer. Say that. The past 20 years, since I was in college, right, I have listened to a podcast every single night to sleep. And it's the old XFM, Ricky Gervais, Carl Pilkington, Steve Merchant podcast.
Yeah,
and since my old college, he wasn't the lecturer; he was the technician guy, Dan Haig. I always remember him. He got us onto him when they first started going. Well, not long after they first started going live, they're just these hilarious podcasts. Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, and this guy called Carl Pilkington. If you're from the US, unlikely you've heard of him. Basically, Carl Pilkington he comes across as an idiot, but he says these unknowingly like profound, hilarious things all the time. Whatever they say to him, whenever you ask this guy a question, he'll never give you the answer you're ever gonna expect. And it really is too much to go into. But if you're they're all on YouTube, go and find them. They're hilarious. They're addictive, and I always use them to sleep. Have done for 20 years. It's like, yeah, it's weird. Anyway. I say that because there's an episode, and I've heard it a couple of times, but last night I was listening to it again, and Ricky has a phone call from Darren Brown, and he calls Carl Pilkington and says, do you want to come for dinner with him? So Steve, Ricky, and Carl go for dinner with Darren Brown. And it's fascinating to listen to because it's true, it's all real. Carl is this guy, Carl, believes in the craziest things, and he has these really weird theories. And he has no concept of like he has a, like he doesn't really have a concept for science or the appreciation for like something's got to be done. Either way, he went into this thing as a skeptic. He's not going to get in my head. He's not going to get in my head. I want to know how he does it all. And then Ricky was like, you know, don't ask him to do like any magic. You know, do not ask him that. We're going as a social event with this guy. And for like 20 minutes, half an hour, Carl, well, in the episode basically, Carl ends up getting him to show tricks. And Carl tells the story of what Darren does, what Darren performs on him. And he's, spoiler alert, it's a magic square. But it's an amazing presentation from what it sounds like. He says, Carl was like basically saying to him, you're not going to get in my head. No, no, go on then, do something. So Darren got him to write down a name and a two-digit number. And then he said, and then he was just, then Darren was just saying numbers at him. And Carl was like trying to keep stump. He was trying to say nothing. And then he said, right, that's it. I'm going to come back to you later. So he said, Carl was like, in it, Carl was freaking out there. Like, oh, I'm not going to say anything at this dinner table because that's how he's going to get the information out of my head. Now, we all know he's done a peek by this point, or he will be doing a peek. But it's fascinating that, first of all, that Darren did that and then said, right, I'll come back to it later because I need to like glean more information from you from the unsubtle verbal cue, non-verbal cues that you give, blah, 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 blah. That alone is interesting, yeah. He ends up by saying, now, he revealed the name and then he started writing down numbers. He said, now, there's so many numbers you could have gone for. If you were an introvert, you would tend to go for this number. If you were an extrovert, you go for this. But I don't think, and basically, like every, he was writing down numbers for each type of personality type guest that he was going for. And he goes, eventually he says the number thinking of, if you're an extrovert, 32. And Carl was like, ha, I've got him, he's wrong. And then he said, oh, what was the number? He said 42. And then he shows that it adds up in every which way direction. Apparently this blew Carl's fucking mind. Like, absolutely left him speechless. This guy, Carl, for people listening, he's so subdued in his attitude to life. Nothing gets him going. And Ricky, the whole shtick is that Ricky tries to wind him up constantly. Well, the reaction that Carl gave was that he was telling everyone, he phoned his missus, was raving on the phone to her. He's just nonstop thought about this and be excited like a puppy telling everybody at work. And I've listened to this podcast 20 years. There's hundreds of episodes. Each episode is like 3 hours long. This is the only time I've seen him in this state of mind. It's actually impressive. It makes me proud to do what we do. But I tell you all this because that was at, and I'm looking at my phone, it was 2:55 in the morning. And I'd spent the night in the evening, me and Kaylee were just doing like some craft shit. So she was knitting. I call it craft, but I was editing. We were just on the sofa. We had some, I put the NPR Tiny Desk on. Have you ever watched that? It's artists that sit in a tiny desk in a tiny office and they play their music. And I was listening to like Anderson .Paak and then who else is on there? A fucking Sting and Shaggy was one of them. Turned out to be really good.
T-Pain's
And
is
it just,
amazing.
yeah, complete. Start off with Action Bronson, real eclectic. You have people like Adele on there, but we were just chilled out, basically, right, listening to music all night while we were just like doing like arts and crafty type stuff. And it was cool. And like some songs, we'd stop and we'd watch them and we'd be blown away. And so all this comes together at 2:55 in the morning, and I'm wide awake, and I wrote in my notes, and I this is probably really pretentious, so just forgive me, like, you know, while I say this out loud and humiliate myself, but I often compare magic and music. In fact, the two industries are so incredibly parallel that oftentimes, if you were to just change the words music and magic around, you wouldn't know the difference, especially in terms of industry wise. But so much of it, and it's a longer path to go on to, but ultimately. I wrote this down and I said, this sounds so wanky, but the difference between magic and music is that music is enjoyed in the moment. Magic is enjoyed after the moment. There's something that music can do which magic can't do. which is from the very first note of a song, you get goosebumps, right? If it's a special song to you, or sometimes it can be a song you've never heard before, but you hear the opening three notes, three chords, and you are transported into a memory that never existed, you know. I think everyone listening to the podcast knows what I mean when I say this. Like music, instantly you're teleported, and you can just experience it, and it can make you cry, it can make you laugh, it can make you feel love, everything. Magic, however, there's not, you don't really get that same experience from magic right then. Normally, there's the setup, there's the story that builds, or there's the visual story that builds, and then there's the impossible that sort of goes on, and then that something happens. And at times magic can make people cry, and it can make you feel, you know, certain emotions. It can definitely make you laugh, absolutely make you laugh. It can entertain you, but it doesn't have that same instant, oh my God, right? And the emotion that it generally conjures, like astonishment, it is a unique emotion to itself. But the difference is, if I listen to a really good song, I don't go off and tell everyone for weeks about it. But when people see a good magic trick, they tend to remember that forever, and they'll tell that story for weeks after it. Now, they will tell it at dinner tables, you know, years later often, but more often than not, they will spend the next, you know, when it's in their immediate memory, then they're in their instant recall sort of state. For the next few days and weeks, they will tell many, many people. And that's like the one upper hand that magic has over music, is that like people will listen to a song again that they love over and over, but you can't do that with magic. You can only tell the story. And I don't really know, I don't know what to do with this thought. I don't know whether I'm correct on this thought, or if it's just another piece to the puzzle of magic. But I felt like with that information, the reason I think it's if you agree with it, or if there's some truth to it, then it sort of helps, it should help us create better magic.
Right.
You
Okay.
know?
I'm gonna have to run through a long list of kind of replying to certain things just because I let you speak for a few minutes then because I could see you were
Thank you.
feeling very passionate about what you were saying.
Yeah, no,
No,
please, now I am going to be silent.
no, no. But
I know I am.
first of all, congratulations on the successful parallel play with your wife, which is the sign of a very healthy relationship, being able to sit next to each other and do different things.
Thanks, man. We've always been like it's so chill.
It's the best. The stuff with Carl Pilkington, I absolutely love the fact that he was flawed, and I do remember that episode. Just absolutely stumped because usually he would be the type of person who is what's the phrase you've used before from Reddit? Is it confidently
In
incorrect?
confidently incorrect.
Yeah,
Yeah.
which is one of my favorite things in magic is if you look on a mainstream kind of viral popular Facebook magician style magic page. The comments from layman where they are just so confidently incorrect about method when it's the simplest thing. So it could be, you know, a double lift and someone's there saying, "You guys are all idiots. How can you not realize that there's a mirror?" And the video is played in reverse. It's like, yes, okay, but because usually he tends to lean towards that kind of outlook on certain things, which is how you might imagine he would look at magic or mentalism. But that's kind of just rambling on in terms of the point. Yeah, I think you're pretty right. I think it's only edge cases where there might be differences. So, you know, I suppose if it was a magician watching a magic act, they might have instant recognition at the first note, so to speak, just because they are aware of the props and they're aware of the common lines, they're aware of the openings and stuff like that. But I think in general, when it comes to laymen, I think you're definitely right because, well, it just depends, doesn't it? It depends because it could be the same as the first time you listen to a song. Like you said, you can get the general vibe, you can enjoy it, you can accept it for what it is, but you don't know the words and you don't know the where the beat is going, which is similar to the first time you ever see a magic trick. But I think you're right about the industries being very, very connected. We've spoken on the podcast before about how certain magicians who gig frequently, the wedding workers, they're very similar to a cover band where they're playing the greatest hits because they're the ones that are always going to work. They're the ones that are always going to deliver the results they want, and they're the ones that they can play confidently and have at their disposable. They have at their disposal, sorry. They have a set, like a set list, literally exactly like a cover band, exactly like musicians. And it is harder to make it as an original recording artist, much in the same way that it's probably harder to make it if you're only performing your strange, obscure effects that you've created yourself in your bedroom. So it is something that I've definitely thought about before, this like link, the commonality between the two industries and the two professions as well. I can just see Lloyd wandering around in the background because he's had the delivery, so that's why I'm just waffling to myself, just in case anyone's wondering. He's not listening whatsoever. He's in a different room now. But thinking about Lloyd's point, I did like the idea that if we know that this is a true fact, if this is a statement that rings true, and these commonalities mean that we are aware of certain things in magic, if we are aware of how we can affect and how things are responded to or things are remembered, then that means that theoretically we should be a little bit better at creating. I mean, nothing ever is that simple. Nothing ever works exactly how it's, in that sense, I think it should help us. It's like therapy, right? Or mental health. The first thing that you're kind of taught is how to be self-aware, how to recognize certain traits within yourself, how to see when a problem is cropping up, and how to understand the warning signs or the what is happening. And this self-awareness, having self-awareness, is a wonderful tool that allows you to recognize a problem and reach into, your tool belt, every kind of action that you can take to remedy the problem, to help ease the problem. So in a way, that self-awareness is the same in this sense. If we are self-aware of what it is that makes people remember, or it makes people react or resonate with an effect, then yeah, theoretically, it should help us with the creation of it.
Thank you for filling in there. And you make some really good points, to be honest with you.
You didn't listen to a
I'm sorry.
word.
No, I listened to it. I got my headphones in. I had delivery that had to be refrigerated within 24 hours of receiving it. So I was like, oh, what the fuck? So I've just, and then I opened it and it said fragile and I just fucking dropped it. So that's my life in a nutshell. I know. So I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah. So for me, it's like, here's another thing that's different between music and magic. I'd love to do an episode one day on the similarities or the crossovers, because there's infinite amounts. I can't even begin to describe how many there are. And since day dot, I've gone on about this. But the one thing, the difference is that, like, music can be repeated. So when you listen to a good song and you go off and you listen to it again, you track it down, and then you can, and you know, there's you can I mean you can do covers, and you can do covers in magic as well. But it's very, 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 very rare that a layperson will go off and repeat the trick. They'll
Yeah.
go off and search that trick to see it again and again and again. The more they watch that trick, the more they generally will work it out. Why one of the golden rules of magic is never repeat the same trick twice, or at least for
Yes.
me, it's never repeat the same method twice. And the big thought that I had was, and this is true, and so many people talk about this, and the first person I heard speak about this was Wayne Houchin, but I know it goes back longer, is that lay people confuse their memories, right? They rewrite what happened. The story from Wade Houchin is that he does a trick where he swallows a needle on a thread, and he pulls it out, and it's threaded from his mouth. And he also does a trick where he puts thread into his mouth, and then he pulls the thread out of his eye. And lay people always confuse the memory of pulling the thread out from the eye with a needle threaded on the eye thread or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because they do. So if we're going to create magic where I mean, it's going to be obviously strong in the moment because that's when that moment of astonishment, that ping, happens. But the idea that then it's going to be almost enjoyed equally as much in the retelling of it, that sort of changes things, especially like from, like, I create a lot of visual magic, you know? And yeah, it's great. It's definitely great in certain environments. Like you ain't going into a nightclub or a bar, and you're doing the fucking magic square, right? I mean,
No.
Derren Brown probably could, but realistically, you're just gonna fucking put a phone in a bottle or something, you know? And then when you retell that story of, okay, or more likely a coin, like, you know, oh, you took a coin and you put it in the bowl. And then he took it back out again or whatever. Good, but the difference between, like, the story of somebody, you know, who believes that the magician really got into their mind, or they really did this, they really did that, there is a difference there. And it's palpable, the excitement that it, like, generates. And I don't know. I know we do, especially on this podcast, we create a lot of magic based on, like, story. You know, finding, like, old, like, talking about, like, the ship of Theseus. Is it Theseus? Theseus, and talking about the what's that hand called? I've forgotten it now.
Hand
The
of
cat with it,
glory.
the hand of glory, and stuff like this. And it does generate more story. But I just thought, and again, probably preaching to the converted, and probably just saying stuff that everybody's already thinking out loud. But yeah, knowing that magic is enjoyed or experienced after, sense it seems that it's experienced more after the fact, in the retelling and the recanting of it, than the music. It does. I don't know what I would start to create with it, but it does make me think that that's like a that, like to think about that when creating. Well,
But
that should be it.
we've spoken before plenty of times about how many different ways there are to kind of start your approach to creating, because you might wake up one morning and you've written down in your sleep something to do with, a bottle cap, and that's just the start of creating an effect that day. Or you might be sitting in front of a blank page and be writing the first few words that come into your head. Or you might have heard a line in a movie. So that we've spoke before about how many different ways there is to get to that either initial hook or initial method or whatever, whichever place you start. It's not linear. You can start at the end of a trick because you have the idea for a good reveal and then just work your way backwards. So, and thinking about, okay, we've got this kind of theory about why or how things are remembered or whether they're enjoyed during or after. Like I said, theoretically, it should help us somewhere. It's just what would you apply that to? So do you think that means you should lean into those things where you're maybe hitting points that you want them to remember strongly, or do you think it means you can pull back on some of that stuff because inherently because it's magic, they're gonna remember it more after the fact?
A mixture of both. And also the thought of not changing anything about the way we create, because obviously it's doing its job. I like the idea of potentially leaning into the fact of using parts of effects that you know will be confused afterwards or misremembered afterwards. And that is an interesting thing alone, just to think, like, if I put these two elements, which are very similar to each other, but I'm not, but actually don't, like, you know, overlap in the trick, or they do overlap, but they don't, they, you know, I know that they'll, in a week's time, when they tell someone else this, I know they're gonna blur the lines. It's quite an interesting thing, and very difficult for me in my the way I create, very difficult type of pattern of creativity for me to explore, but definitely something that I want to. Yeah, and Just to go back, and I don't know whether this is, but this look this note, this post-it note on the board of my head, which is just like that. It's almost like if you imagine a timeline, then and the timeline has is white, yeah. And you have a music, a piece of music, and a magic trick, right? And they're both on this timeline, right? The music. And they both and the trick starts at the same time as the music. So the magician spreads the card and it says pick a card as the first three chords of the song start. Yeah. The if you imagine like a heartbeat or a pulse checker, but the music at the moment it starts, it's the pulse is imagine it's high, it's racing high, and it's consistent. High all the way, in fact, possibly building towards the end of the song, right? And the song is the same length of time as it takes to perform the trick. But for the magic trick, the pulse is low and subdued until the last second. The very last second of that piece of magic, the pulse raises up, and now it's sky high after it's finished. But for the music piece, it will like obviously still be on a high, but then it peters off because naturally, even when people cry to music, they normally tend to finish crying after a minute or two after the song. I'd say this because Kaylee is quite like she wears her heart on her sleeve and she listens to a lot of music and she likes to reminisce about stuff and I see it with her. And yeah, but for magic, it's almost like when I think of it that way, like in a logical sense, because I think my brain is more that way inclined. Just like having that sort of visualized on a board that like the build up to the trick is I don't know. Is there a way you can structure the effect that it's like a smash and stab, for example, it's gonna get hearts raised during. I get that. And there are certain effects, but I don't really like to incorporate like faux danger into stuff, especially when you're not actually where everyone knows it's not going to be dangerous. So, is there a way that you'd like to, you'd think that maybe you could restructure a trick so that the heart rate is matched? Or knowing that, like, that it doesn't, like, that it's not very interesting, or I don't know if that's the right word, but it's not heart rate raising. And I say heart rate, I don't really mean the heart rate. I feel like it's, I don't know, that, like, that just that filled emotion. Like magic, it's like wow, what the fuck? And music can just be like any emotion as well. But knowing that only kicks in at the end of the effect, generally, and I know I'm speaking generally, does that change the way you think about pacing and what goes into the effect? Does it mean that the effect doesn't matter? It's only about giving them that reaction, And obviously, they can be stronger depending on the effect. But ultimately, if Darren Brown had just done the name reveal without the magic square, would Carl Pilkington have still been running around telling everyone how fucking phenomenal that effect was? Because ultimately, they achieved the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's obviously it's style of magic dependent, it's performer dependent, and it's skill level dependent. Because if Darren Brown were to just use one color and paint a painting, it would probably still be a very beautiful black and white painting. But he's chosen to use a couple of different colors in his painting. It's such a weird one to think
Yeah,
about, to be honest
that
with you.
is true.
So the kind of the cadence of an effect, or the way that you structure the story, it is a little bit different to music in the sense that magic is more like a book or a movie because there are independent acts. And don't get me wrong, I know that in music you will have, the bridge, the chorus, the verse, but it's still structured differently. It's not like Usually, it's not like a three-part performance, whereas in magic and movies and books, it is. And because magic is such a condensed version of a story, those beats that sometimes don't have enough room to breathe, and sometimes people aren't confident in the way they approach certain the first part, the second part, the third part, and it more so becomes this muddle. Just there's this, and then there's this, and then this happens. Ah, you're. It's. I really like the visual of lining up, like, engagement or heartbeat or however you want to phrase it, with a song and a magic trick. And I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know what? If this was, maybe this thought alone is stupid, and maybe I'm just preaching to the converted, and everyone's like, yeah, duh, and I get that. And if this was written by like Rick Rubin in the Creative Act, then it would just be that phrase, and it wouldn't be discussed any further. And just maybe it's just something to keep in the back of mind, or anyone who thinks there's truth in its head, just that. That music is enjoyed in the moment and magic is enjoyed after the moment.
I think, if anything, it's a reminder of how theory actually can help, because people like to kind of decry theory and say, well, it's all about practicality, get your hours in, get your flight time in, which is completely true. But if you are approaching it from the angle where you want to be creative and you want to create things, then surely you should know more about what you're doing. I mean, some of the most talented people in the world are people who have had no formal training whatsoever, and they just do something out of the blue. You can be naturally talented, but it's still good to have a basic appreciation for how you approach something. And if you recognize something, like you have recognized this similarity and difference between music and magic, you're recognizing something, you're acknowledging it, you're noting it down, and like surely that's going to add to the next time you approach something.
It has to, right?
Think so. I think
Sometimes
so.
it's just the simple acknowledgement of I mentioned the Rick Rubin Creative Act because I'm reading the book again. I don't know if you've read it yet. It's literally, this is like the Bible for creativity, as far as I'm concerned. The modern day Bible, anyway, for creativity. I can't even begin to go into it. But one of the things he discusses. So Rick Rubin's a music producer. And he's produced some of the most prolific music of all time. And there's not one song that Rick Rubin, there's not, you everyone, no matter what genre you're in, will know who Rick Rubin is and will have experienced some of his music that he's produced. For example, he's gone from System of a Down, Chop Suey, to Mr. Hankey, The Christmas Pooh by South Park. He was the guy that pioneered the Beastie Boys, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Bruce Springsteen, Eminem stuff, like the list is you can't even begin to get into it. And what he does with these artists, he knows nothing about the actual like music itself, like how to play instruments and stuff. But there's a great episode clip, for example, for the general public to just sort of get into him. He looks like a shaman. He looks like a wizard sort of looking guy, like a prophet or a philosopher. But he said like so the famous song by System of a Down, it's Chop Suey,
Of
their
course.
biggest hit. And there's because the song is so different, such a creative song musically. And the song starts off and it's that ding 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 ding, ding and it goes into rock music and then there's a part in the middle. It's like it's I'm not even gonna try and sing it, but it's basically like he's like singing song verses like about father I can
Why have
fight
you forsaken me?
why have yeah it's like this weird breakdown I'm not even gonna attempt it. And he talks about how that bit came into the song. And they were so basically they were writing it and they were performing it in the studio and Rick was there and producing it and they said oh we don't know like what to do here and we're struggling to make it creative and one of his things was okay. Right, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go up to a bookshelf, pick up the first book you see, and just read the first line of that book. And they did, and they picked it up, and it was a Bible. And it says, what was it? Father, into your hand, I commend my spirit. Father, into your hand, why have you forsaken me or something? And that's the lyrics. That's the first book they picked off the shelf. They opened it up, they read the words. Those are the lyrics. And then that becomes like the most iconic part of the song. Like, it's fucking unbelievable. And so he's this guy, he's like a guru kind of in a way. He doesn't profess to be one, but he's like a philosopher. And he goes into the studio and people, when they have creative slumps, he'll just work the energy out of the room. And anyway, so I say this because I was reading it again and he was on about this one artist Because there's a big section there about talking about how people tend to put off creativity. So just using distractions and how distractions can be bad and how they can be pivotal. And there was one guy, and I forgot the name, but it was like literally the last chapter I read. And he, what the fuck was it that he did? But I can't remember what it was, but there was something he noticed that he did when he was procrastinating or when he got anxiety and stage fright. And he suffered with it really badly. And then one day he was talking to someone, and they were like, oh yeah, in like Dutch or in philosophy or so, I'm such a bad person for remembering this thing. There's a phrase for this. Whenever this happens, they call it, monkey on your back or something like that. And once he had a phrase for it, and he knew that it was boxed off, he was suddenly able to recognize it. And as soon as he could recognize it, he could say, oh, I've got a monkey on my back. And he knew then he could deal with it. But until it was actually given a term, he suffered with it.
Once you
It's
know
kind
the
of
name of
strange.
something, you have power over it. It's like Rumpelstiltskin.
I don't know the story of that of Rumpelstiltskin. I know the name.
Well, I mean, the protagonist has to find out his name to get rid of him, basically.
Oh well, it's essentially that then. It's literally that, and I can't remember what I was originally talking about before that.
That's
But
fine.
you should read the book. Javier got me onto it.
I remember you saying you did recommend it quite a few weeks ago now, and I said I'd get it on Audible, so I need to at some point.
Do you listen to audiobooks?
I do, yeah, I do.
I am going to gift it to you right now
No,
as
don't be
my
silly, mate.
gift. Yes. What's your? Can you type in the your Audible email, and I'll send it over as a little gift.
Let me check, because I might still have credits remaining on there.
I urge everyone to listen to it. It's not just it's not focused on music.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen plenty of interviews with him in the past, and whenever he pops up anywhere, sharing some wise words, I do enjoy listening.
Amazing. So that was kind of what I woke up thinking about this morning. Do we want to try and create something based off of that? Like thinking about, or just with that in the background, like if you could perform a trick that you know someone is going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about. So not just creating a piece of magic just to get them to go, oh my God, that's amazing. And then you do the dynamo walk away, you flick your coattails in the wind and disappear into a dark alleyway. Like,
Okay.
it's almost like instant gratification versus long-term gratification.
So whilst you were speaking, when you were talking about the magic square and the numbers and stuff, it got me thinking about a presentational idea for DFB,
Okay.
which
That's
was
quite
also
great.
in line with what you were thinking to do with Blair and what happened, the memory of what happened, because obviously, that's quite a useful thing that we can benefit from, is the way memory is blurred. And magicians make use of it all the time, and sometimes they make use of it with method as well, by using two different methods that counteract each other. So that when the layman explains it, they say, "No, it can't have been that because he did this and he did this, so it can't have been that." But in reality, you were just using one or the other. And I was thinking about DFB, and I was thinking it would be quite interesting if you utilize the same list afterwards, but in a different way. So say you have a list of whatever it is, names, objects, places, and you kind of do a traditional DFB presentation where perhaps you pick a number that they've written down, and then that allows you to very fairly show them the list, and they see the number, and you have a prediction somewhere, say. But then what if you They've created that list now. And then what if you were to copy the list and then text it to them and say, "I'm sending you the list on your phone," because people always say to me, maybe it's something to do with your phone. So you've got the list now. And then you move on to something else that involves the list. So it kind of blurs both elements of the effect a little bit when they're retelling it.
So they that concept there could have been a force completely leaves their memory, essentially. So you say name a number between 1 and 52 or whatever it's going to be, 1 and 100. And or actually instead let me text you over this list. Okay, yeah, sorry, let's start again. Whatever the number is, do it on yours because I haven't got much battery. Remember the item at the position of the list. Yeah, I think that's good because then afterwards they would say, and it's a small detail, right? It's a small 1 degree twist, but they would go, yeah, he sent me a list. I thought of an item off the list, and now that is that closes the loop on the effect. There's no answer for that now.
Especially if in the second part you basically perform a mirror, like a mirror image method. So the second part is another prediction. But you are saying instead of the object being forced in the with the number, instead of the number being the one that changes, it's the number that you're forcing this time. So you peek what's at that number when you send it. So now you're doing like the reverse of the effect. Now you're just forcing a number on them for the next part of the trick, which could just be as simple as calling a card. And then, that's the second one. And then there's the first one, which was in an envelope the other side of the room. But so when they think back on method, because you've done the two effects as one, it cancels out. Like, it could have been this. Oh no, because he did this. But they remember it, what you did in one part as the whole.
Okay, that's fucking great. That's so good. All about DFB. I remember in Seville, I had a day. I was filming with Javi Benitez for a few days, and the last day I just had time to chill, and I spent like 2 hours recording videos in. I had this amazing apartment, and I spent 2 hours recording videos about how to use DFB, and I never did anything with them. To not force, but using it for reveals and everything but forcing. So like literally I wrote down on a mental note, no forcing allowed. And then you can do some pretty crazy shit with it. I'll have to dig those videos out and share them or go over some of the ideas. Because I don't remember what it was, but there was one that I was really excited about and I told a few people at the time. But I'll dig it out for you. But yeah, sorry, just going on a tangent there. Hey, do you want to hear a cool story about That's not really a cool story, but it's just one of those things. I went to Seville, right, to film with Javi, and I booked my own Airbnb. So I got there, and like Seville's like a big place, man. It's and it's gorgeous, original architecture, and the house name that I got to was like Casa de Magia something. So I and this woman answered the door. And she let me in, and then she took me about this. She said, oh, the Wi-Fi password is magic123. I was like, oh, magic. And I didn't say anything. I was like, oh, that's cool. I was just like settling in. And then Javi picked me up and he was like, what the fuck are you doing in this house? I was like, oh, this is my Airbnb. And he was like, and then the woman came downstairs and she's like, oh, Javi, what's going on? And he was like, hey, what the fuck, Maria? How are you? It turns out it was like the house that Javier Benitez had learnt magic in.
Oh, no way.
His old magic teacher still owned the house. His partner was now hosting it as an Airbnb, and it was called like the House of Magic, and the password was magic. And I literally, there were so many fucking Airbnbs I could have booked, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And that was the one I booked, and it turns out to be the House of Magic. And he learned magic. It was just really weird set of circumstances.
So rad. I absolutely love those little tiny synchronicities and coincidences that just crop up naturally in life. Make such good
Yeah,
stories.
they do. I don't know. Not all of them should be turned into magic tricks, right? But sometimes, like, well, this is interesting. In that Carl Pilkington and Darren Brown interaction exchange, he said the number he picked was 42, and the word that he picked, or the name that he picked, was Harris. And he said, you won't believe what happened. And he actually, this is the thing that got me, like, realizing how excited Carl was, because Carl is so subdued, was that. He was like, and he comes back into the. He's in the studio recanting everything, and they were obviously there. But he was telling them then about what happened after, and he said, "You're not going to believe what happened when I got home." And he said, "This proves it for me. This is this this says this is the proof." I went to my letterbox, and in there was a letter to Miss Harris, and that to him, and he brought the letter into the studio. And if you know what Carl's MO is, you know, is sort of attitude to life, that ain't him. He was fucking bowled over. And again, it's another piece to that puzzle, as in, if and I should have probably said this earlier, but if magic is experienced or heightened after the fact, then like leaving a breadcrumb to be found later on the day, the week, the month, the year, even. Now that excites me, because you now it I suppose for him, right, the oh, taking that letter and seeing Miss Harris on it, that was the three chords to the opening of a song. That was the well, oh, and immediately doesn't have to see the trick. Immediately knows he loves it.
If you can get someone to remember the effect, which is usually, if you can get someone to remember the effect, then you can have it become a self-working trick when you aren't even there 2 months down the line, because the participant, the layman, is putting pieces together themselves, and they're doing the interpretation themselves. They're doing all the work themselves after the fact, just because of the initial push you gave them. I mean, I don't really watch them too much, but there's a YouTube group called The Sidemen, and for some reason, a short like clip from one of their streams popped up in my recommended tab this morning, and it was one of them had got engaged recently. And he was on stream, and a viewer had sent him a clip from an old episode of theirs and said, "Doesn't this feel a bit weird now?" And so he clicked on it, and he was like, "What is this?" And it was them having their fortune told by this woman fortune teller, and she was saying, "There's something you've been getting away with for a long time, but you're going to kind of have to face it soon. Not necessarily a bad thing, but it's something that you've been putting off for a while. And I see you spending a lot of time in a treehouse and some other things." And then, a year later or whatever it is, he's just got engaged last week to his girlfriend of 13 years that he'd been kind of he had cold feet about for a while, just because they didn't want to get married for whatever reason. And they were in a hotel that was a treehouse that they were staying in. And this viewer
Yeah.
said, "Doesn't this feel weird now?" And sent him this, and he was like, "Wait, what the fuck?" So it's like people put in. It becomes a self-working trick at a point if you leave breadcrumbs that they can recognize later on, definitely.
Like the Baader Meinhof complex, like you start to see things that, and you attribute each thing to what you've experienced, incorrectly or correctly, if it's been set up beforehand or
Yeah,
not.
just confirmation bias, recency bias. It's
Yeah, a great
easy.
example of that is like planting. I don't know. Well, no, there's no great example really, but like, yeah, I keep thinking of the film, The Number 23, and he starts seeing the number 23 everywhere. But yeah, it's almost like, who is it that did this? Maybe Max Maven, or was it Eugene Berg or something, where they would do some. Maybe this is quite a common thing, but you do this immaculate effect where they pick a playing card under seemingly impossible circumstances, and from the beginning, the magician has a prediction on stage, and they reveal that the prediction matches exactly. And then when that person gets home, they have a letter on their doorstep that was sent the day before, and it says, "I know you will pick the Three of Spades," which is the same card. And yeah, for that person, that effect is now suddenly amplified through the roof, and any method they would have had going into it, as long as they didn't think they were forced, which is the most important part, then any method is destroyed, and they're instantly brought back into that moment, and probably heightens the experience.
It's just so often you can watch a performer, and they've got everything drilled down to the point where they can do something second nature. The moves that they have to do are second nature, and they've got it cemented in their head that they just follow this routine. And I've always been more of a fan of why not? And there's so many things that you can just say why not, because it doesn't diminish any kind of effect. It's just that, when you get the muscle memory and you work in these things, you do it to the T instead of having this element of why not? Because why not at the end of an effect say to them, "This is so weird, bro. I've just had an image of an umbrella, and it might not mean anything now, but I think for some reason you're gonna think back to this in a few weeks or a few days and a few months, and you're gonna think, how did he know about that umbrella? And like, why not? Yeah, it isn't drilled in the trick. It isn't something that you practice, but why not? And so if you are going to force something, that if you are a performer who forces something, a card or whatever it is, then that is what you've learned to do and that is what you do. But why not have a backup? Not a backup, but why not have a second one? I performed a trick to you where I had a prediction on my phone and I had a business card next to the phone and turned that over as well and said, but also, I've also predicted it on the business card just in case you thought it was an app or something. And it's like, why
Oh
not?
yeah, that. Yeah, exactly. Why not? Like, why not go the extra mile? A cool thing you could do then, like, if the modern instead of a letter, and I'm trying to think of a way which a way to frame it so that it wasn't just so thingy. But if you say you had an NFC tag, and the NFC tag creates, well, let me tell you this. I think it was Brent Braun that said a good thing to do is, like, if you're having a great time with someone, say you go on a great first date. And you know this person's going to work out, or you hang out with, I don't know, someone you care about, whatever it is. And then on their phone or on your phone, you set a reminder for 180 days to remind you of, say you went to a pizza restaurant and you had and you spilled the drink and it was hilarious for whatever reason. You say on your phone, "Hey, remind me in 6 months about the time we spilled milkshake over each other at the pizza restaurant." And then you get the pop-up. And you're like, oh yeah, that was amazing, and it brings you. So what if you did something like that? If you had an NFC tag that automatically, and I know this is the most basic, the most we use card tricks and like a pick a card, find a card, reveal a card, things just to lay like the foundations. But if it was just something as basic as they pick a card, it's gonna be the three of spades. You have a prediction in your pocket. It's gonna be the three of spades, right? That's gonna match. But you have your business card out. On that business card, it's got an NFC tag. In the midst of doing a different trick or taking a photo for the effect, you the NFC tag sets an event and a calendar event or a reminder in 6 months' time, or maybe closer than that, you know, in 3 days' time at 4 p.m. They, by the way, maybe they were down to two cards, right? And you don't know which card they were going to pick, one of two cards. And you're like, look at those two cards. I don't know what they are, but decide which one you're going to go for. Remember the other one, but lose it in the deck. And then, you know, in 3 days' time, they get a reminder on their phone that says, "This is a reminder to let you know that I knew you were thinking of also picking the King of Diamonds or some shit like that." And then it's that something like, "How the fuck?" You know, I
That's
don't
actually
know.
a pretty cool concept of a if you could have a way where you frame what is essentially a multiple out as a way to get two hits.
Oh yeah.
So you say like you're in a coffee shop and you've whittled the deck down to two cards and they've made all the choices and you know that there's a King of Hearts or a King of Diamonds is underneath. Sorry, but the two cards are the King of Hearts and the King of Diamonds or whatever. And you have, is there a way that you can phrase a prediction or show something so that you can be right on both accounts, whatever they pick? So, like, you know, if you had written unbeknownst to them on the other side of your coffee cup, like King of Diamonds, close enough, and you had it turned away from them. And there was some other reveal that you had somewhere, but so that they made sense together, depending on what order you showed them in, there's probably some kind of linguistic nuance that you can add where the hit, you're getting both hits no matter what in a multiple out.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know that's not really what you were talking about, sorry, but it just popped into my head.
Well, yeah, if it was something like, you know, like I'm just thinking now of like a minute after the trick ends, maybe the trick hasn't ended, but the cards are lost in the deck, and they focused on either the King of Diamonds or the Three of Spades. You don't know the dog's about to run out. Then the reminder to come up and say, I know you were thinking of the Three of Spades, but the card. Oh, like I know the Three of Spades was the focus, but you couldn't detract your attention away from the King of Diamonds.
Yeah.
Something like that, which is a bit ambiguous over which one was chosen, but that way you get both hits. Is that kind of what you meant?
Yeah, I've just thought of one you could do. So one of them just says King of Hearts, And then say the other one on the back of your coffee cup says, and then King of Diamonds. And the way that you introduce the reveal is how it would affect it. So you could say to them, so we went through this deck, and we got down to these cards, and then you turn the cup around and say, and then the King of Diamonds. But if you did it the other way, you could say, and then we got to, the King of Hearts, you turn over the other reveal, and then you have this on the cup that says, and then King of Diamonds. So it could just be how you phrase what you go, how you phrase going into the reveal, where the language almost seems to confirm which one was intended to be first and second.
That's good. That's clever. And it remind oh, I need to show you after this call something that Javier came up with yesterday, and it's going to blow your mind.
Oh, hell
Everyone
yes.
else will be able to see it soon enough, but just because I just remembered it as you're saying that, it's about a multiple out thing, and it's literally like.
I just whilst I remember, actually, I wanted to. This has probably been done elsewhere, so it's probably not breaking any ground or anything whatsoever. But I was playing around with how you can remove a card from a card from within a card box without it being visible, without with them fairly putting the card into the deck and then it just disappearing completely and having it be
Okay.
examinable. And so I was playing around with this idea of whether or not it is a double lift or whether or not it is just culled to the bottom of the deck.
Yeah.
When you put the cards back into the deck and you're showing it very fairly, you just bow it a little bit so that that card is pushed outwards and you can slip the lip behind it so that then
Yes.
you can access it in kind of any whatever
You
way.
put it straight from the where the little tab area is. Half moon.
But you want to keep it kind of you want to keep it all in their eyesight at all times. And I was playing around with this idea of if you then put it into a card clip and have them hold it, when they pass it back to you, sorry, when they pass it back to you, this is out of the tab a little bit, their selected
Yeah.
card. And if you just apply a little bit of pressure, this is hidden, obviously, but it's in full view still. If you apply a bit of pressure and bend it round, when you then take the cards out, that obviously stays in the clip, but it looks like it.
Oh, wow.
And so that's out of play and it doesn't
Oh,
matter.
that's clever.
And then they can
Oh,
look
that
through,
is good.
but they think they've had hold of it the entire time. And you're only, it's just in that simple movement that looks really, really
That's
innocent.
good. Yeah, you should make a video for that. For people, maybe put it on Patreon or something on your
There is one.
Patreon. That actually works, man. I thought at first I thought you were gonna go somewhere else with it, and I was like, ah, but
No.
no, that actually does really work.
Yeah, there is a video about it on on the Patreon with a few different like
Oh, is there?
yeah, me and one of the members of the membership, Darren Close, kind of like went back and forth over a couple of videos and I edited them together. So there's about like six really cool ideas in there just to do with a card disappearing
Okay,
from a card box.
here's an idea for this. So imagine you have what's something simple for, okay, imagine there's two card boxes, one blue one on the table and a red one in play, right? And you've equivoked down to it. Now, the blue one on the table is going to be face down, whatever, and inside it there's going to be two magnets stuck to the back of the box on the top, right? So inside the box, but two equidistant for each other. In on the deck of cards, the bottom card of the deck is going to have a card box on the back of it.
Yeah.
All right, and also, possible a double stick tape on the front of the card. So
Yeah.
the print or the design on the back of the card is the same as the blue card box on the table, right? Now a card selected, controlled also to the bottom of the deck, and adheres to that double stick tape. So basically you have a selected card and it's stuck to a card that has two magnets on it and the back of a box design. That deck goes into the red box and is the lip is put underneath the two cards, so they're free to slide out. You place that deck box down onto the card box on the table, so you just have a pile of two decks. Now, if you slip that top red deck backwards, the magnets with the double stick tape card will steal that card and the gimmick card out from the box, but they'll both be hidden in plain sight because they've got that back design
Yeah.
on that gimmick card. So what it looks like happens is to the uninitiated is that a card collected, lost in the deck, placed in the box. You place that down onto the table on top of the other box, and then you come back to it. You pick up the red box, you hand it to a participant, and now their card's completely vanished. And at that point, you could probably pick up the blue box and pretend to pull out the card from inside that, or move the blue box into your pocket and palm off the selected card and show, whatever you want to do. But that would be a really cool way. A similar thing, just inspired from what you just showed me,
Yeah,
but to be done out in the open.
that's really cool. Yeah, I guess if you were to force the card as well, you could already have a duplicate in the other deck with a different colored back, so that you wouldn't have to the fact that it was a gaffed card wouldn't matter because you have a duplicate inside the non-forced deck.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be a blue deck. It could be a like a dollar bill.
It
On the
doesn't have
back
to
of
be
the
a
card's worth a dollar
transposition either.
bill.
It's just
I love how clean the vanish is. Like from either way, whether you use the card clip or the card box, the idea of I love it when you find a good principle or a good tool, and then you just look at it like, what is the bare bones of it? Well, I have the ability to make a card fucking vanish from the deck.
Yeah.
Like that alone is like, then you can go with why not theory, right? Like, why not make it reappear stuck to the ceiling in a different house or under the carpet? Or, well, it's a why not go the extra distance? Because if you could do magic, then why not?
Why not? Theodore Hahnemann had a piece of magic called Higher Magic, and it was certain places he visited fairly often where the ceiling was very tall. He would place a business card with a card with a playing card written on one side of it, and he would stick it to the roof in a place where no one would naturally see it or naturally look up, so that 7 months down the line, he could force that card and say that he knew what card someone was thinking of. But if they wanted to know the answer, they'd have to get his prediction from the ceiling that had just appeared there. But obviously, that's a very bastardized version of the way he wrote it in the Jinxed originally, but I love that. Why not have this? Just why not?
There's also a bit of Schrodinger going on there as well. Like, oh, I'm right, but you have to, I am right or I'm wrong, but there's only one way to find out, and some people may not.
It's you've won either way, because if they don't manage to get it down because they don't have a big ladder or whatever, every time they see it, they're going to be thinking about it. And if they do get it down, then you've had a miracle.
Do you know, that makes me think of this, and I don't know if this sounds stupid if no one's ever fucking done this, but if you say you stuck a business card up there with a prediction on it. Has anyone ever made fucking flash business cards? Imagine you had a business card, you lit it, it turns into flames, you're like, oh, heat rises, look up. And now it's just stuck to the ceiling.
Oh yeah.
But that should be like the dopest trick ever. Have you ever seen a flash business card? I suppose it's hard to make them, but
I've seen I've heard I've read or heard that effect with something else. I think it may be just a piece of paper.
right.
Possibly. I can't remember where I've
Starve
seen or
from
heard it.
London has a great trick with flash sugar, and I won't go into it because he hasn't fully. He's not. He hasn't released it, but he has got lots of videos of him performing it online. But I'll just say that. So with his thing, he has a flash sugar packet. So that would be cool on its own.
Oh yeah, I
Just
remember.
to go.
I think I've seen a few videos of his performing that at maybe at like the session or something.
Everywhere,
Yeah.
yeah, he's really good. But that would be cool if you put a flash, if you put a sugar packet in your hand, you lit it, it burnt away. All that's left in your hand is sugar. You're like, what the fuck? And you look up, and no, it's like stuck to the ceiling or something. That'd be a great trick.
What else could you construct out of flash paper that would
I have.
have
Oh, I tell you what, I do have a good trick with, and this is years old. I've got a video of it on my phone. I mean, like 10 years, 12 years old. I made a flash Coke bottle label.
Oh, hell yes.
So then I just did Osmosis by, or not Osmosis, labeled by Ben Williams. I know it re-released as Osmosis by Alex Laredo, but yeah. So which is where the label goes inside the bottle. So the effect was that the you just show a Coke bottle, you light it, it goes, and it's a spiral of fire, and now it's stuck inside the bottle, which was super visual. The other way I did this, and I'm reluctant to share it, but fuck it. if anybody takes this idea now, know that this has been well documented, that I've been doing this for a long time, is making a Coke bottle label out of dissolvable, water dissolvable paper. So then you put the label inside the bottle, and then the dissolvable label on the outside the bottle, and you have to use a bottle of Coke, Cola, or 7-Up. And then, so what's going to happen is this is going to be self-working. You say, watch the label. Maybe you draw a cross on it as a convincer. You shake the bottle up. You put it down on the table. You open the lid, and you not all the way. You just crack it open a little bit, and you stand back. It starts to fizz over. As the fizz comes out, it automatically dissolves the outside external label, and then what's left is the internal label, and there's nothing left to find.
So good. I love stuff
Like
that
the
just
cup
makes
runneth
sense.
over, and yeah, it's just I've been in love with that for so long.
What, you can get different colored flash paper, right?
Yeah, you can.
Like, I
Yeah, you've
vaguely
got
rem
different.
I remember well, it was actually exactly a year ago, like 2 days ago, that I put out that Sigadex booklet. And one of
Oh,
the
wow.
ideas that you contributed to it was creating a cigarette using flash paper, so with the filter part and the white part around a rolled up card, so that you could put it into, not flash paper, sorry, into it with dissolvable paper, so you could put it into like a glass of water and the card would appear from the cigarette.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
You
I
said
remember
that's
that.
cool. It was your idea.
Yeah, no, I think of the visual, that's cool. Yeah, so much you could do, but oh man, we could go off on a tangent here. I tell you what though, I do have to jump off
Yeah, of course.
and do some living and walk my dog yet.
I have a very busy day ahead, so I don't mind that whatsoever. I'm sure no one will mind once we put out the Blackpool episode, which will hopefully be a lot longer than usual.
Yes. We should probably do that then. We should record it at least ahead, because if I'm going to travel up to Blackpool on the Wednesday, which I'm going to try and do, then we won't be able to record it on a Wednesday. So we'll have
Yeah,
to
well, I'll be in
do
Blackpool
it.
on the Monday.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. I literally cannot go up on the Monday because I've got the baby. All right. Anyway, on that point, I hope we've all got your creative juices, or we hope we got all of your creative juices flowing, everybody. Hope you're having a good time. If you have any ideas to elaborate, if you think that what we've saying is stupid and you've wasted your time, then we apologize. If you enjoyed it, let us know. Head over to theblackartco.com, and there you can find our Facebook group to start some discussions off, or get involved in some discussions. And if you haven't done so already, like hit that like join button, whatever it's called on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, which is just to like be notified of when the next episode drops.
Yeah, it
But all
looks
being said, then thank you
so
for a
much
great
better when we've
episode.
got ratings on there as well.
Oh yeah, we got ratings.
We've got ratings, but we could always do with some more if
I
anyone's
didn't know we
feeling
had any. Yeah,
generous.
please leave us a rating. Like I didn't even know that was a thing we should ask for.
Telling you. Also, go check
All
out
right.
Mind Spider on www.jakekeen.com because
Oh,
it's
the Mind
last
Spider.
release.
Oh, dude, that blew my mind when you told me about that yesterday.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
Blew
it.
my tiny mind. Yeah, please go and check it out. Please go and check that out. But yeah, until for all else, we'll see you all in you'll hear us in 7 days, like that
Hell
Craig David
yes.
song.
Yeah,
Dun-dun-dun. This is the part where I need to share the outro music, isn't it?
you do. And I say thanks for listening, everyone.
Peace, y'all.